بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم.
An introduction to the companions.
آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون.
Presented by Abu Hasnain Murtaza Khan.
قل هذه سبيلي أدعو إلى الله على بصيرة أنا ومن اتبعني وسبحان الله وما
Produced and distributed by Knowledge, Books and Audio.
عليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين عدوا عليها بالنواجذ. Upon you to take my sunnah and the sunnah of the four or the rightly guided khulafa. Hold fast to their teachings or to the sunnah that they mention. عدوا عليها بالنواجذ. Hold fast to it with your molar teeth. ألا من كان يعبد محمدا فإن محمدا قد مات ومن كان يعبد الله فإن الله حي لا يموت. Whoever worships Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, let him know that he has died. Whoever worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فإن الله حي لا يموت. Allah is ever living, the eternal. Are the words of Abu Bakr. If the iman of all the people of this earth was to be placed on one scale, and the iman of Abu Bakr would outweigh the whole of this Muslim Ummah. Umar ibn al-Khattab. Now revelation came down to the companions. فَقَالُوا وَقَالَ. They said something, and he said something. إِلَّا نَزَلَ الْقُرْآنَ عَلَى نَحْوِ مَا قَالَ عُمَرَ. Except for the Quran came down upon the thought of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. إن الله جعل الحق على لسان عمر وقلبه. Allah subhanahu has placed the truth on the heart and on the tongue and the speech of Umar ibn al-Khattab.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الحدي حدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we find that forever the beacons of light, that the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prevailed previously on the earth of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will continue to glow. And there are some people who carry that light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially in the day and age that we find that people are fighting for glory and claiming to be the leaders of the society or the leaders for their people. And it's quite a shame that Muslims we begin to look at such people who govern. أَفَحُكْمُ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ يَبْخُونَ. Who judge with ignorance, who judge with their own whims and desires between that which is wrong, clearly through the text of the Quran and through even the nature of man, who judge to govern to make عمل قوم لوط
halal, the action of the people of Lut, homosexuality to be allowed, to allow illicit, immoral behavior in society, are the leaders of these parties and individuals. And as for Muslims, then we need to go back and see who were our umara, who were our leaders. Leaders whereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated about them, radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with them and they are pleased with him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the beginning is with none other than the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnati al-khulafai rashidin al-mahdiyin addu alayha bin nawajid. Upon you is to follow my sunnah, and for those people who carry the sunnah, al-khulafa al-rashidin al-mahdiyin, the four rightly guided khulafa, the four leaders where none of Ahlul Sunnah differ about them, Abu Bakr wa Umar wa Uthman wa Ali radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. Where can we begin and where can we end? لو كنت متخذا خليلا لاتخذت أبا بكر ولكن صاحبي وأخي. If I was to take a khalil in this ummah, are the words of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, لاتخذت أبا بكر, I would have taken Abu Bakr to be my intimate friend. ولكن صاحبي, but rather he is my companion. He's my companion. I have not taken him as a khalil. Walakin akhuwatul Islam afdal. But the brotherhood of Islam is far greater. The relationship that I have with Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. And that's how we find that in the explanation of this hadith, that khalil is an intimate friend. One that you love to such a degree that you listen to everything they command you to do. And there was no possible way that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam could take Ibrahim as an intimate, close friend. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken him as a khalil, as you find in the hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has only taken two individuals close to himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is Ibrahim. وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. Took Ibrahim alayhi salam as an intimate friend. And the second one is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he cannot give this characteristic to any amongst the creation, that you are close to me, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen him to be close to the Creator. And we find that this sahib, this companion or this friend, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, ثانيثنين إذ هما في الغار إذ يقول لصاحبه لا تحزن. When you find that one of the two, إِذْ هُمَا فِي الْغَارِ, when both of them are inside the cave, إِذْ يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ لَا تَحْزَنُ, and he states to his sahib, states to his companion, do not fear, do not grieve. Here we find three references to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. ثَانِيَثْنَيْنِ, the second of the two, إِذْ هُمَا, when both of them, فِي الْغَارِ, are inside the cave. إِذْ يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ, when he states to his companion, don't fear. And here it becomes very difficult for those people who don't admit the rank of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, that they have to reinterpret these ayat of the Quran. When these ayat, according to all the classical mufassirun, are talking about the time when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr as-Siddiq were inside the cave of Thawr. And like how we find that Ibn al-Jawzi in his tafsir takes the opinion, الَّذِي يُؤْتِي مَا لَهُ يَتَزَكَّى وَمَا لِأَحَدٍ إِنْدَهُ مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ تُجْزَى. That these ayat are talking about Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, that he's spending in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And like how we find that the great sha'ir, the great poet Allama Iqbal, he wrote about Abu Bakr as-Siddiq when he stated, غار, بدر, أو قبر. That this is a companion, a friend who was with him inside the cave and at the time of the Battle of Badr and buried with him next to his grave as well. وَكَانَ ثَانِيهِ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ was the second individual to come into Islam or the first man to become a Muslim. وَثَانِيهِ فِي الْغَارِ and the second one to be inside the cave with him. وَثَانِيهِ فِي الْعَرِيشِ يَوْمَ بَدَرْ وَثَانِيهِ فِي الْقَبَرْ and he was the second one who was standing with him on the day of Battle of Badr, who lifted the mantle or the cloak of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and placed it back upon his shoulders, and he is the second one who is buried with him, meaning besides the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what else did the friend say about Abu Bakr as-Siddiq? أَيُّ النَّاسِ يَحَبُّ إِلَيْكَ who is the most beloved of mankind to you? قَالَ Aisha radiallahu anha he stated Aisha radiallahu anha قَالَ مِنَ الرِّجَالِ from amongst the men who is the most beloved to you, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? قَالَ أَبُوهَا her father he is the most beloved to me. She is the most beloved in terms of the women, but in terms of the men, the most beloved to me is none other than Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. And that's how we find in another hadith that whoever lets his lower garment flow out of arrogance, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not look at that individual. And Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, when his lower garment would drag on the floor and he heard this hadith, he felt taken back by this hadith. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated about him, you do not do that out of the khuyala. You do not do that out of a state of pride. This is a tazkiyah only for Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. As for other people who like to hide behind this hadith, that this is something general, is an incorrect understanding. This is a tazkiyah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam only for Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. Likewise, we find كنا نخير بين الناس في زمان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. We used to choose who is the best person during the lifetime of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. فنخير أبا بكر ثم عمر ثم عثمان. This is when the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم was living. We used to choose who is the best one after him, standing in front of us, and we would choose Abu Bakr to be the first one, and then Umar, and then Uthman. And likewise, we find Muhammad ibn Ali, the son or the grandson of Ali ibn Abi Talib. قُلْتُ لِأَبِي أَيُّ النَّاسِ أَحَبُّ وَخَيْرُ بَعْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. Oh, Muhammad, the son of Ali ibn Abi Talib, not from the line of Fatima radiallahu anha, asked his father, who is the best individual after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? قَالَ أَبُو بَكَرَ قَالَ ثُمَّ مَنْ قَالَ عُمَرَ. This is the family of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam stating themselves, O the son of Ali, who is the best individual? And he states clearly that the best individual is Abu Bakr, and then Umar is the following after Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And likewise, Umar kana yaqul, Abu Bakr sayyiduna. Abu Bakr is our leader. Abu Bakr is our leader amongst all of the companions. And likewise, we find some narrations, لو وزن إيمان أبي بكر بإيمان أهل الأرض لا رجح بهم. If the iman of all the people of this earth was to be placed on one scale, and the iman of Abu Bakr, the iman of Abu Bakr would outweigh the whole of this Muslim ummah. That is a weight of the belief and the tasdiq of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu an. And likewise, we find the hadith of Uhud, when the Prophet Muhammad is walking upon this great mountain, and he says to the mountain, be at rest, be at ease. فَإِنَّمَا عَلَيْكَ نَبِي وَصِدِّيق وَشَهِيدًا. Verily upon you is a prophet and a siddiq, a truthful one, referring to Abu Bakr. And there is upon you shahidan, the true two martyrs, referring to Umar and Uthman radiallahu anhuma. And that's why we find as-siddiq, the title that was given to Abu Bakr. سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي أَسْرَى بِعَبْدِهِ لَيْلًا مِنَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ الْأَقْصَى. Glorified be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who took his abd, took his servant from Masjid al-Haram, from the Kaaba ila Masjid al-Aqsa, to the far or the furthest masjid, referring to the Masjid al-Aqsa in Philistine at the moment. And Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, when he heard of this, or when the Quraysh heard of this, they said, look at your foolish companion, that he claims to go in one night to the furthest mosque and return back once again, when you know this is a journey of only a month. A month's journey and he claims to have gone there in one night. What do you say about your companion? And here we find that this title of Siddiq given to him, that I believe in something much further than that. I believe that revelation comes to him from the heavens, which is further than the furthest mosque. I believe in that. So why should I deny the concept that he went to Masjid al-Aqsa in one night and returned once again? And this earned him the title of a Siddiq. That every single individual had some taraddud, had some thought, wanted some time to think about accepting about Islam. Illa Abu Bakr, except for Abu Bakr. He was the only companion who never hesitated. When his companion, his friend came to him and proposed Islam to him, they were bila taraddud, wala shak, entered into the beautiful religion of Al-Islam. And likewise, if you read about his seerah, fil jahiliyyah, about his ignorance, about his great companion Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, لقد حرم أبو بكر الخمر على نفسه في الجاهلية كما ذكر أبو نعيم في الحلية. He made it haram upon himself to drink alcohol in Jahiliyyah. Such a great individual, never touched it in the days of ignorance, made it haram upon him, even though there was no tashri', there was no legislation to state that the drinking of alcohol is forbidden. But he was such a fine character and remained away from the drinking of khamr and ibadatul awthan, and the worshipping of idols is a characteristic amongst Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. And likewise you find amongst his titles, Al-Atiq, the one who has been liberated from the fire, was a title that was given to him. And as for his character and his karam and his generous behavior, as we find in the Qissa to Tabuk, in the Battle of Tabuk, that we find that forever Abu Bakr and Umar would compete with one another. And when Abu Umar radiallahu anhu brings half of his wealth, and he feels that this day I have outdone Abu Bakr, that I have beaten him today, and he states, La asbaquhu fi shay'in abada. I can never ever beat this individual. Every time I excel to do some good, this man always comes and he beats me and does better than me. And that's how we find in the same time the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ma nafa'ani malun qat. No wealth has ever benefited me like the wealth of Abu Bakr. Fa baka Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr began to weep. قَالَ هَلْ أَنَا وَمَالِي إِلَّا لَكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. I am and my wealth is for your sake, O Prophet of Allah. That is the power of the words of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That I return everybody's favor except for the favor of Abu Bakr, the man of wealth and generosity he has given in the path of Islam. And he begins to weep and he states that me and my wealth all belong to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that's how we find Kathratul Buka, this great leader, but would weep at the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Muru Abu Bakr fal yusalli bin nas is an evidence that he is the first Khalifa. At the time of the ill health of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he stated, Muru Abu Bakr, tell Abu Bakr to lead the prayer, fal yusalli bin nas. And we know this for evidence of the Sharia, that whoever leads people in their prayer, he is the Imam. Not just Imam in prayer, but Imam in every single aspect of their deen. Unfortunately, this has been something which is neglected, that the Imam is only the Imam of the Masjid and not the Imam of the Muslim Ummah. That's why we find in Allah Ta'ala khayra abdin bayna dunya wa bayna ma indahu. When the Prophet Muhammad was given the offer, because every single Nabi is given the opportunity to choose at the time of the death, are you going to choose this dunya or are you going to choose the Akhirah? The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam chose the Akhirah. He chose to leave this dunya. And once again, Abu Bakr was the only one who understood the power of these words. And as for his fear and his khawf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya layta Abu Bakr mithluki. If only Abu Bakr was like you. Ka mathalu tayr. Like a bird that was resting on the edge of the tree. It has no hisab, no accountability. If only I was just like you, a simple bird flying around. And another narration that we find, our athar, لَوَدَدْتُ أَنِّي شَعْرَ فِي جَنْبِ عَبْدِ مُؤْمِنِ. If only I was a strand of hair as part of the believer, a believing believer who is established in the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if only I could be that one strand of hair to indulge in that goodness and to be rewarded with that individual. وَأَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِجَمِيعِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله أما بعد أما فهمه وعلمه
as for his understanding of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his great perception of knowledge, and even been placed in a rank of authority that you find from amongst his words of being made the leader of this Muslim ummah. Allahumma anta a'lamu minni bi nafsi. You know me better than I know my own self. Wa ana a'lamu bi nafsi minhum. And I know myself better than they all know me. Allahumma jalni khayran mimma yadhunnun. Allah, make me better than that what they think about me. Wa aghfirli ma la ya'lamun. And forgive me for that which they don't know. Wa la tu'akhidni bima yaqulun. And don't take me because of the excessive praise they give about me. Is the way Abu Bakr al-Siddiq understood the conception of becoming a leader amongst the Muslim Ummah, a leader amongst the people. And that's how you find Ibn Kathir goes to the opinion that the most knowledgeable man amongst all the companions is none other than Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. Because whoever knows the most Quran is the one who should be the leader or the imam of the people. And likewise you find that this emotional individual, his emotions do not override him to give the correct hukum, to give the correct judgment. Because many people want to emphasize that it may be his emotional character made him sway away from the truth. It made him show some inclination to certain people. And the greatest example of this is on the day of Badr, that his son Abdul Rahman, before he became a Muslim, that in the day of battle of Badr, after the battle, Abdul Rahman states that I saw you on many occasions, my father. Many occasions you came underneath my sword, but I restrained myself because you are my respected father. Abu Bakr said, Wallahi, law ra'ituka marratan wahida. If I saw you even once, I would not hesitate to place you underneath my sword. Because this is a battle between harb bayn al-kufri wal-iman. A battle between iman and kufr. It is not between father and son. I would never show any hesitance to place you underneath my sword. Showing that emotions would not override this great Khalifa, that he's willing to sacrifice his own son who is on the side of the disbelievers. And likewise you find at the death of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that when you read through all of the calamities that we face at the moment, that many of the ulama have highlighted, go back and read the death or the farewell of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and all of your calamities will seem trivial, minute to the lifting of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you find that we become very emotional, or these people who want to go and chant on the streets and feel this is their love and their affection towards the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Umar, when he saw that the Prophet Muhammad has been lifted from this dunya, he said, and he has gone to meet Allah like Musa alayhi salam went to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he will return once again. And whoever states that he has died, then I will slay him. I will slay him with my own sword. And he went in a state of madness. Kathratul hub, kathratul ishq, a love which overtook his emotions. But Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, that when he returned back to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he came over to him, فَكَشَّفَ عَنْ وَجْهِهِ, he took the garment off the face of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَقَبَّلَهُ وَقَالَ فِدَاءً لَكَ أَبِي وَأُمِّي, and he kissed him on his forehead, and he said, may my mother and father be sacrificed for you. مَا أَتْجَبَكَ حَيًّا وَمَيِّتًا, how beautiful you was when you was living, and how beautiful you are now that you have been lifted. Are the words of Abu Bakr about the death of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not mere slogans that are chanted on the streets and praise, excessive praise, but a true love. Ala man kana ya'budu Muhammadan fa inna Muhammadan qad mat, wa man kana ya'budu Allah fa inna Allah hayyun la yamut. Whoever worships Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, let him know that he has died. Whoever worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fa inna Allah hayyun la yamut. Allah is ever living, the eternal. This is the greatest evidence to these people. They have become worshippers of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And likewise on his deathbed he stated, do not praise me, do not extol me, walakin inni abdun wa rasul. Indeed I am only a servant and I am a messenger. Don't praise me like the Christians praised Isa ibn Maryam. We are not Muhammadans. We make ittiba of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We follow his sunnah and everything in our life. We do not worship him and extol him in this manner. And he is more beloved to us. And Nabiyyu awla bil mu'minina min anfusihim. The Prophet is more beloved to the believers than their own selves. If these people want to chant their slogans and stand in defense of the Prophet Muhammad, they should stand in the defense of the blood of the Prophet Muhammad, which is being spilled at the moment. Because every single Muslim is from the progeny and the lineage of the da'wah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ. What is the messenger of Allah except for only a messenger? قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ. Many prophets came before him. Many of them were slain. Many of them were tortured, and many of them were killed. Are you going to turn back upon your heels? And another verse in the Quran he recited, إِنَّكَ مَيِّتٌ وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ. Verily, they will die, you will die, and everybody will die. It's the greatest evidence of the lifting of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam from this dunya. And Umar stated, as if these verses have been recited today, or these verses have been revealed today. And that's why we find that every single concept of the understanding of Abu Bakr, that where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam should be buried, that he should be buried wherever he died. The concept of mirath, of inheritance, that the prophets do not leave behind any form of inheritance. Whatever they leave behind is a form of sadaqah. And likewise, we find the right judgment. That these people forever preaching the relaxation of the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Listen carefully to the words of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. Wallahi la uqatilanna man farraqa bayna salati wa zakah. I will swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will fight those people who make a distinction between their prayer and a zakah. لو منعوني إقالا. If even if they forbid me or forbade me from taking the one string, the string of the camel or the string of the sheep, then I'll fight these people for failing to give the zakah. And today we find people are throwing slogans on the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is unapplicable in the 21st century. And as for his no discrepancy in his leadership, it is only the deviant people who believe that he does not have the right to become the first khalifa. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu man yartadda minkum an dinihi fa sawfa ya'ti Allahu biqaumin yuhibbuhu wa yuhibbunahum. Whoever turns away from his deen, he will create a new group of individuals who will love Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love them. The mufassirun go to the opinion this is talking about Abu Bakr as-Siddiq when he stood up and he took his stance. Wa'ada Allahu alladhina amanu minkum wa 'amilu salihat la yastakhlifannahum fil ard kama istakhlafa alladhina min qablihim. Allah made a promise, he will give inheritance of the land just like he gave it to those people before him. Once again, the mufassirun go to the opinion these are ayat talking about Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. And the evidence, muru Abu Bakr falyusalli bin nas. Order Abu Bakr to pray and he can lead the people in prayer. No amir chooses to be the amir. As for this democratic society, that the most filthiest individual, the one who possesses the wealth, can come in front and become the leader, is against the tenets of Islam. The concept of shura is only amongst tuqa, amongst the righteous and ulama, the people of the skill and interpretation. As for any kullu man habba wa dabba, as for any individual who can come out and give the gift of the gab to become the leader of the people, is against the democratic system of the sharia, of the way of selection of the leaders amongst our people. And finally, we find that another evidence about his leadership, that a woman came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam kama dhakarahu Imam Bukhari wa Muslim. Atat imra ila nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A woman came to him and said to him, asked him certain questions, and she stated that if I come back, what should I do if I don't find you? Illam tajidini fa'ati bi Abi Bakr. If you don't find me, then go to Abu Bakr. A clear evidence and prophecy that if you don't find me when you come back to return to ask me anything else, then go and ask Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. And that's why we find walastu bikhayrikum. He stated this clearly to his people. I'm not the best amongst you, but I've been placed inside this position. But I'm not the best amongst you, but I will try my best. And we find this great individual that being the Amir, Amir al-Mu'mineen, that he is going and still buying and selling clothes. And Umar says to him, you are the leader of the Muslims. Why don't you take a stipend? Why don't you take a contribution from the Baytul Mal? Take a certain amount of wealth and use that. So he took some 6,000 dirham or dinar. And towards the end of his life, he said to Aisha radiallahu anha, return every single coin that I took from Baytul Mal. So no one can say that Abu Bakr took money from the treasury. that this is the way of the leader, to work and to strive for himself. And even when he does take the wealth, he returns it back in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And amongst the greatest of his works, the request of Umar al-An to compile the Quran, Jam'ul Quran, to bring the Quran together that we recite today. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability to read through Sirul Nubala, read through the history of the Nubala, of the great individuals, beginning with our Khulafa al-Rashideen, the four great Khulafa, to take Ibra from Tariq, to take a lesson from history, and to revive one another, to come back to those great golden years. Inna Allahu malaikatu yusalluna ala nabi, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu alayhi sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad, kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim, innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad, kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim, innaka hamidun majid. Rabbana taqabbal minna, innaka antas samiul alim, wa tub alayna, innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban nar. ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين قوموا لصلاتكم يرحمكم الله
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا من سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and continuing the journey of searching of those companions radiallahu anhum wa radu an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with them and they are pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That we stopped on the greatest contribution of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu fi jam' al-Qur'an, in the compilation or the collection of the Qur'an. And the companion who instigated this collection, kama dhakra Imam al-Bukhari, who instigated the collection of the Qur'an, is none other than Umar ibn al-Khattab. He is the one who stated to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq that the Qurra, the Huffaz, the reciters, and those who are memorizing the Qur'an are being made shuhada or being killed in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you do not put the Qur'an together in a suhuf, in a book form, then we will lose this Qur'an. And Abu Bakr as-Siddiq hesitated, but Umar kept on persuading him until eventually he took the opinion of Umar ibn al-Khattab. And we find that Umar was the one who had a great insight to the understanding of the Quran, as we find narrated by Imam Muslim that he states that the Quran coincided with my judgment on three occasions. I had three thoughts in my mind, three opinions in my mind, and the Quran came down upon the opinions that I had on my mind. The first opinion that he had on his mind was dhikrul asra, the mentioning of the capturing of the prisoners. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq said, let them go free. Umar held the opinion biqatlihim, that they should be killed. The Quran comes down giving ta'yid, coming in correspondence with the opinion of Umar ibn al-Khattab. The second occasion that the Quran comes down upon the opinion of Umar ibn al-Khattab is dhikr al-hijab, is the remembrance
or the reminder of the women to wear the veil. He could not find it befitting that Ummahatul Mu'mineen, the mothers of the believers, the wives of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, should be exposed to the rest of humanity, that people should be able to visualize them and see them. He held this opinion. And then the ayat came down from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the women should cover themselves, the wives of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then this applies to the rest of the women in society. As for the third revelation, وَاتَّخِذُ مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُسَلَّى, take the place of Maqam Ibrahim, the station of Ibrahim, take it as a place of prayer. And those who perform Umrah or Hajj, that it is part and parcel of the action to go after Tawaf to read two rak'ah of prayer. This was the instigation of Umar, that he felt this would have been something good, that after performing Tawaf, to take this place, Maqam Ibrahim Musalla. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, وَاتَّخِذُ مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُسَلَّى, take the place of Ibrahim alayhi salam, the maqam of Ibrahim as a musalla, as a place of prayer. Imam Suyuti mentions some 50 cases of ayat of the Quran coming down upon the opinion of Umar ibn al-Khattab. Shurbul khamar, the drinking of alcohol, the abstinence of it, the tahrim of it, is all the thoughts of Umar ibn al-Khattab. And an ayat come down from the heavens. Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, the Ra'isul Munafiqeen, the leader of the hypocrites, ayat come down talking about him. And once again Umar is hoping that ayat will come and expose this hypocrite. And likewise his own son Ibn Umar states, وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ النَّاسِ أَمْرٌ قَطْ, no opinion came down to people, no revelation came down to the companions. وَقَالْ فَقَالُوا وَقَالَ, they said something and he said something. إِلَّا نَزَلَ الْقُرْآنَ عَلَى نَحْوِ مَا قَالَ عُمَرْ, except for the Quran came down upon the thought of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. People would say one thing, he would say something else, and the Quran would come in the statement or the opinion of Umar ibn al-Khattab. And likewise find a hadith مَا رَوَاهُ Imam Bukhari, that it will be amongst my people nasun muhaddathun, people are mulhimun, people have inspiration, people who say some words of revelation, some correctness in their speech. فَإِنْ يَكُنْ فِي أُمَّتِي أَحَدٍ, if there is anybody amongst my ummah who is muhaddathun, mulhimun, then it is Umar ibn Khattab. A blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the words that he utters are a form of inspiration and some part of nubuwa, some part of prophethood. Likewise you find, لَوْ كَانَ بَعْدِ نَبِي لَكَانَ عُمَرِ بْنُ الْخَطَّابِ كَمَا ذَكْرَوْ إِمَامُ الْتِرْمِذِي, if there was going to be a prophet after me, it would have been Umar ibn al-Khattab, are the words of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That he even corrected the Prophet Muhammad on many occasions. The famous hadith, كَمَا ذَكْرَوْ إِمَامْ مُسْلِمْ وَرَوَاهُ أَبُو هُرَيْرَى, that one day he entered, followed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he entered into this garden, and he crouched down like a fox, and went through that gap to meet the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him his shoe, gave him his sandal, to show as a testification, the witness, that you are my messenger. And whoever you meet outside of this gate, whoever says La ilaha illallah, give them the glad tidings of paradise. So when Abu Huraira stands outside, Umar ibn al-Khattab, he approaches him, and he says to him, whoever says La ilaha illallah, dakhal al-jannah, will enter into paradise. Umar ibn al-Khattab pushed him, فَسَقَطَ عَلَى إِسْتِي, and he fell down and he dropped towards his back, or on his back. And he began to weep and cry because of the force of Umar ibn al-Khattab. And Abu Huraira went back to the Prophet Muhammad and said, look what Umar done to me. And he said, did you do this? He said, yes, I did. Why did you do it? He said, because if you leave people, just say, give them the glad tidings of La ilaha illallah, they may become relaxed upon that and become lazy upon that. So I don't want you to give this bashara to mankind. Don't give him this bashara. And then the Prophet Muhammad retracted this statement. meaning that you have to strive and work for the shahada, work for the kalima. It is not sufficient just to utter these words and think you will enter into paradise. And Umar ibn Khattab, he understood this, that if you go around giving people the glad tidings, just say La ilallah and you will enter into paradise, many people will rely just upon this statement and leave the action which is indulged with this statement. Inna Allah ja'ala al-haq ala lisani Umar wa qalbihi. Allah subhanahu has placed the truth on the heart and on the tongue and the speech of Umar ibn Khattab. And that's how we find كان لقبه الفاروق. The title that was given to him was the distinguisher between Al-Haq wal-Batil, the criterion between that which is the truth and that which is full falsehood. لأنه أظهر الإسلام وفرق بين الحق والباطل. Because he made Islam apparent, he exposed Islam. وفرق بين الحق والباطل. And he exposed and made a distinction between the truth and falsehood. Likewise, you find a statement, ألسنا على الحق. Are we not upon the truth? As he mentioned in Sulh al-Hudaybiyah, in the pact or the treaty of Hudaybiyah, when the Muslims had to come down a stage, and he said these words to the Prophet Muhammad, ألسنا على الحق. Are we not upon the truth? That why should we come down upon our religion? And even though the stance of the Prophet Muhammad was the truth, but his strong eager and desire that if you are upon the truth, then you should not step down from the truth. And that was not the first occasion that he made this statement of Alasna ala al-haq. That you read his seerah, Shadid al-Kufr, immense devotion inside, or dedication to kufr, thumma shadid al-iman, and then a stern burning passion towards al-iman. He was amongst Ashrafu Quraysh, the most noble people of the Quraysh, a notorious drinker, a notorious warrior, known for his stance and his anger and his temperament amongst all of the Arabs at that stage. And that's why many of them, or he stated himself, whoever has not indulged in extreme jahiliyyah will not really appreciate al-Islam. That if Islam is given to you, you take it for granted. But if you strive and search for Islam, there's a much more deeper conviction and a dedication towards the teaching of al-Islam. As for Islamuhu, kama dhakara Imam al-Bayhaqi fi dalail al-Nubuwa, as Imam Bayhaqi mentioned, that the conversion of Umar ibn Khattab to al-Islam, the famous story of when he went to kill the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, shadid al-kufr, extreme desire of disbelief and to hurt the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that on his journey there, he meets one of his friends who has concealed his iman, and he sees the facial expression in his face and he knows he's going to cause some harm, and he asks him, where are you going? He said, I've had enough of this Prophet, of this Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he says to him, go and rectify your own home before you go and attack the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he returns to his own home and he finds his sister reading some parchment of the Quran, some verses of the Quran. And in anger, he enters the house. And through some force, he causes some harm to hit his brother-in-law and then to even strike his own sister. But we find that the Arab at that time, the Quraysh, had some rujula inside them, that when he hit his sister and he saw the blood, he felt ashamed that he lifted up his hand on another woman. فَهُوَ فِي شَدِيدِ الْكُفَرِ, in immense amount of disbelief, he recognizes to raise your hand on a woman is against rujula, is against manhood. And then he says to her, what was you reciting? And those verses of Surah Taha, the 20th Surah, مَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ لِتَشْقَى, we have not sent the Quran upon you that it may be some form of hardship upon you, that you may grieve upon it. إِلَّا تَذْكِرَةً لِمَنْ يَخْشَى, except for it is a reminder for those people who have khawf and fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِلَى قَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى إِنَّنِي أَنَّ اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَاعْبُدْنِي وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي, indeed I am Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one and alone. فَاعْبُدْنِي, establish my worship. وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي, and establish the prayer for my remembrance. These are the ayat that many of the mufassirun and many of the muarrikhun of the historians have highlighted, are which stretched Umar ibn al-Khattab towards al-Islam. And then we find that when he returned now to enter upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from shadid al-kufr to shadid al-iman, in the lapse of a few seconds, then when he approaches the door now, only one individual can stop him. Hamza radiallahu anhu. And he mentions these words: if he has come as a friend, then he can enter. And if he has entered or come as an enemy, then I'll take his own sword and smite his neck with his own sword. But he entered, and we find that he professed the Shahada. And this is none other than the prophecy or the supplication of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam: Allahumma izz al-Islam. Oh Allah, strengthen al-Islam bi-habbi rajulain, with one of the two beloved men, ilayk, bi-Umar ibn al-Khattab, either through Umar ibn al-Khattab or bi-Abi Jahl ibn Hisham, or through Abu Jahl. Strengthen Islam through one of these two. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose Umar ibn al-Khattab. And that's why we find that many of the companions state that when he became a Muslim, Islam began to excel. That we grew in iman, we grew in devotion and in fury against the Quraysh. And that's why we find that he made this statement, Alasna ala al-haq, that he was the first one to go and pray outside the Kaaba. Are we not upon the truth? فَأَمَّا هِجْرَتُهُ, as for his migration to Medina, their companions went in groups, went together, feeling fear of the Quraysh. As for Umar ibn al-Khattab, he stood there and he said, whoever wants their children to be orphans, whoever wants their wife to be divorced, then let him meet me across this valley. فَمَا تَبِعُوا أَحَدٍ, no one followed Umar ibn al-Khattab. The rest of the companions travel in groups and in fear. As for Umar ibn al-Khattab, he stood there and he challenged the whole of the Quraysh that I'm about to leave Mecca. Is there anyone that can stop me, or anyone that dare that come in front of me to stop me from making this hijrah to Medina? And that's why we find that they feared him even more than the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That once when the wives were sitting with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they heard the voice of Umar of entering upon them, they all ran away behind the veil. They all ran away. And he said, what is this? That you are not scared of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you're scared of me. And then even the Prophet Muhammad stated himself that if shaitan was to be walking in the same path as you, he would walk on the other side. Because indeed, shayateenul insi wal jinn yakhafuna min al umar. Indeed, the devils amongst human beings and from the shayateen, the devils, the jinn, they fear Umar ibn Khattab. That fear that had been placed inside their hearts because of the strong nature of this individual. However, it should be highlighted, as Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani states, that does not mean he's infallible. That he did make certain mistakes, that people should not raise him up as a rank, as a form of worship. Amma fadluhu, as for the virtue of Umar ibn Khattab, and we find the famous hadith, kama dhakra Imam Bukhari or Muslim, that the Prophet Muhammad, when he went on his journey, and he saw a great big palace, and he saw a woman performing, a beautiful woman performing wudu outside of the palace, and he asked her, who does this palace belong to? And she stated, it belongs to Umar ibn Khattab. And he refused to enter to go inside there, because he knew the shame, the ghira, the respect he had for his family and his women. And the Prophet stepped down and did not want to enter that palace. And when he returned and he said to Umar ibn Khattab, that I didn't enter into that palace because of your respect and your dignity towards your women. فَبَكَى Umar. Umar began to weep, and he stated, عَلَيْكَ أَغَارْ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, can I be ashamed of you entering the palace? Could I be jealous of you? Can I show the hatred towards you? You are the Prophet of Allah. فَبَكَى Umar. Umar began to weep. And likewise many other hadith, that the Prophet Muhammad saw him in a dream, saw him with a long shirt, and his shirt is trailing. And those ulama who deal with ru'yatul ahlam, interpretation of dreams, this is not a proof that one's garment can be below one's ankle. Rather, this is an evidence of al-ilm, of knowledge. That his garment is trailing because of kathratul ilm, And another hadith we find that the milk is flowing through his fingernails. Once again, the ulama interpret this to mean al-ilm. Or likewise, the Prophet Muhammad interpreted this is the knowledge of Umar ibn Khattab. In another hadith, we find that Abu Bakr comes to the well and he pulls the well or pulls the bucket. فَكَانَ فِيهِ ضَعْف. There was some weakness in his pulling. But when Umar ibn Khattab came, there was great strength and pulling in Umar ibn Khattab. And once again, the Shura'ul Hadith highlight that the coming of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq is his khilafah, a short reign of only 2 years. But when it comes to the time of Umar ibn Khattab, a reign of some 12 years, and the glorious years and the golden years are referred to the pulling of Umar ibn Khattab. وَأَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِجَمِيعِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله أما بعد.
As for this title that we find that is presented to Umar ibn Khattab, Amir al-Mu'mineen, which even exists amongst us today as well, that people call themselves the leaders of the believers. And it is high time that all of us, al-hukam wal-mahkumeen, the rulers and those who are being ruled upon, to go back and study what is the meaning of Amir al-Mu'mineen. What is the meaning of the leader of the believers? Yalbis jubba min suf. Amir al-Mu'mineen, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, is wearing a garment or an outer garment of wool. Marqu'a, all ripped apart or stitched together. Some 12 different patches are placed upon the garment of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Kana fi wajhi Umar aswadan min al-buka, khattan. Two lines were upon his face. Two lines from his eyes were running down his face. Min kathratul buka, from excessive weeping of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Umar ibn Khattab. That is the meaning of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Likewise, we find, كان يحمل قربة على عنقه. Used to carry a water skin on his shoulder. And used to say, this is to humble myself. To make me humble myself. So I do not become excessive in the title that was given to me. And where did he learn all of this zuhud from? From none other than the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he entered upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he is lying down on a palm mat made out of palm leaves, and he says to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, look at the leaders of Kisra and Faris and Rome, that the great wealth and the things of the dunya that they have, and you are lying upon this reed mat. And then the Prophet Muhammad taught him a lesson that we are not people of this dunya, we are the people of the akhirah. And that is what influenced him, that when he became Amir al-Mu'mineen, to follow that same methodology of a zuhud fi dunya, to remain away from the things of this dunya. And likewise we find, Abu Bakr stated about him that he would become humble, because people complain that he is shadeed, he gets angry very quickly. And Abu Bakr said that when he does become the Khalifa, he will humble himself. And that's how you find, Hina sa'id al-mimbar, when he climbed upon the mimbar of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, faqal, Allahumma inni shadid falayyani. Oh Allah, I am severe and strong and harsh. Falayyani, make me easy and soft towards the people. Wa inni da'if faqawwini. I am weak, so strengthen me. Wa inni bakhil fasakhini. And I am stingy, so make me amongst those people who are generous. And as for his fear, he asked Hudayfa, is my name amongst the hypocrites? That when the name of some 30 odd names were given of who are the munafiqeen, Umar ibn Khattab goes to him and asks him, is my name amongst the munafiqeen? And as for those people who question that maybe this is a form of riya, of showing off, to teach the companions a lesson, then we find this statement of Anas ibn Malik. Anas ibn Malik, he makes this statement, كان بيني وبينه جدار. But between me and between him was a wall. Umar ibn Khattab didn't know I was on the other side of the wall. But I heard him saying these words, Bakhin, bakhin ya Umar. Wretched, wretched ya Umar. Either you fear Allah, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish you. فما كان بيني وبينه أحد إلا جدار. No one was there. Umar didn't know I was behind the wall. But I heard him say these words, Bakhin, Bakhin. Wretched you are, wretched you are. You fear Allah, أو ليعذبك الله. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish you. Shows his khawf and his understanding that he has to answer in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not in front of the people. And like how they find, فَرَّقَ بَيْنَ الْمَلِكِ وَالْخَلِيفَ, and gave a distinction between what is a king and what is the khalifa. As for a king, يَعْسِفُ النَّاسِ, oppresses mankind. فَيَأْخُذْ مِنْ هَذَا وَيُؤْطَى هَذَا, takes from this individual and gives it to the another individual. That is the meaning of mulukiya. That is the meaning of kingdomship. Is to rob people from one side through taxes and whatever forms of institutes that they develop, and then to give it to the rest of society through the other hand, not from their own personal wealth. أَمَّا الْخِلَافَ لَا يَأْخُذْ إِلَّا حَقًّا, does not take except for that which is the right. وَلَا يَدَعُ إِلَّا فِي حَقٍّ, and does not place it except for the due right. As for those people who claim to be Amir al-Mu'mineen at the moment, then they are wasting the wealth of the Muslimun, wasting the wealth of the believers and the Muslims in general. And that's why we find many a hadith talking about him going to help society and going to help people. When a woman states, if only we had leaders like you and not like Amir al-Mu'mineen, Umar al-Khattab, who is sleeping. And he aided her and gave her food and walked away from her. And then when she heard his voice the following day giving the khutbah, she had to apologize that was Amir al-Mu'mineen, Umar al-Khattab, who was helping her the night before. But he did not reveal his identity. And likewise we find the conquest of Baytul Maqdis, the taking of Masjid al-Aqsa, that when he enters, if you read the seerah of how he enters into Masjid al-Aqsa, that the Christians state, we want to give the keys to your leader. We want to give it to your leader, Amir al-Mu'mineen. And when Amir al-Mu'mineen, when he enters into Baytul Maqdis, and you find that he is pulling the donkey and the slave is riding the donkey, فَعَجِبَ النَّاسِ, astounded were people that this is the Amir. The Amir is walking, وَالْخَادِمْ رَاكِمْ, and the servant is riding the animal beast. And then when he rests underneath the tree, and the leaders of Baytul Maqdis call out, where is your Amir? And they point out, there he is, lying underneath the shade of the tree. فَعَجِبَ مَرَّةً ثَانِيَا, shocked second time, that we have a pomp and glory and protection of our leaders, and this is your leader lying underneath the tree. فَهُوَ رَجُلْ صَادِقٌ, this is a truthful leader and a truthful individual. And when some of the companions wanted him to come through in a form of dignity, to present himself, he stated to them, نَحْنُ قَوْمٌ أَعَزَّنَ اللَّهُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ, we are people who've been given dignity through Al-Islam. فَمَحْمَا ابْتَغَيْنَا الْعِزَّةِ بِغَيْرِ مَا أَعَزَّنَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَذَلَّنَا اللَّهُ بِهِ, if we seek honor through any other means, Allah will disgrace us. That you stick to the teaching of Islam, there is no need to drop your guard about what are the teaching of Islam. And likewise we find that finally his death, that he stated himself, اللَّهُمَّ رَزُقْنِي شَهَادَ فِي سَبِيلِكَ, make me die in your path, in the path of jihad. وَجْعَلْ مَوْتِ فِي بَلَدِ رَسُولِكَ, and make my death be in the city of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And his dua became true. Abu Lu'lu al-Majusi, the fire worshipper, is the one who stabbed Umar ibn Khattab. And he praised Allah that I have not been killed by a Muslim, but been killed by this Majusi. And even you read tariq, كما ذكر إمام سيوتي في تاريخ الخلفاء الراشدين, this slave Abu Lu'lu al-Majusi, he threatened Umar ibn Khattab. He threatened him, and Umar ibn Khattab turned to his companion and said to him, this slave has threatened me and he will come back and kill me. But he took no measures, took no protection, that he should take some protection for his own personal benefit, but rather let him come and do what was decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why we find that even his burial is blessed. If we go back to the hadith of Bi'r Aris or Bi'r Khatim, the well of the ring, whereby once again in his famous hadith, the Prophet Muhammad states, whoever enters this well, abshirhu bil jannah, i'dhin lahu وَبَشِّرْهُ بِالْجَنَّةِ. Give him permission to enter and give him the glad tidings of paradise. And the first one to come was Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And he sat on the right. And then came Umar ibn al-Khattab. And he sat on the left. And then you find the interpreters of the hadith, they highlight the meaning of this hadith is that upon the death of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Bakr is buried on the right and Umar is buried on the left. That is interpretation of the hadith of the well. ثُمَّ دَخَلَ Uthman. And Uthman came in. إِذِنْ لَهُ وَبَشِّرْهُ بِالْجَنَّةِ وَالْبَلْوَ تُسِيبُهُ. Let him come in and give him glad tidings of some calamities that will fall upon Uthman ibn Affan. إِنَّ اللَّهُ مَلَائِكَةُ يُسَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. قوموا لصلاتكم يرحمكم الله.